From the Land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of April, 2026. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's at GlobalCommResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And Eric Snodgrass will join us to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. I'll too remind you to visit our website at willag.org, willag.org, where you can get an early start today on next week's spring fund drive. Just hit the donate here button, and we'd be glad to have you put into the commentary section in support of agriculture so that the staff and management here at WILL know you're making a contribution on behalf of the ag programming at Illinois Public Media. On that note, my brother, Tim Gleason, has made a contribution. Our theme music for both the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, which comes up immediately following this program, are written, performed, produced, and courtesy of him. Before we get started, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard has an update of some possible severe weather for the evening in the local area.
After a warm and windy Friday afternoon, scattered to widespread thunderstorms are expected to develop to the west across Missouri and Iowa, along and ahead of an approaching cold front. These storms may organize into lines or clusters as they move east into and across central Illinois later this evening into the overnight, with the risk of scattered severe weather impacts. Damaging wind gusts over 70 miles per hour and isolated tornadoes are the primary hazards expected with tonight's storms as they move through the area between 8 p.m. and midnight. The cold front will clear the area tonight, bringing cooler temps and quieter weather for the weekend.
1, 2, 3, 4.
For Illinois Public Media News, I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Chicago corn today settled at $4.48¾, up a quarter of a cent. July futures at $4.57½, down a quarter. And new crop December, $4.77 a bushel, up a quarter. May beans, 3½ higher at $11.67¼. July, $11.83, up 2½ cents. In November, soybeans, ½ cent higher at $11.56½. Bean meal, 90 cents lower at $3.31.80. Bean oil at $68.16, $1.17 lower. July soft red winter wheat, down 7¼ cents, settled at $5.99¼. The hard red July at $6.50, down a nickel for the day. Live cattle futures were 27½ cents lower at $2.47.35. Feeders settled $3.65.67½, down $2.85. And lean hogs at $101.05 per 100 pounds, down 62½ cents. Crude oil in the West Texas, that's the WTI, at $82.68, down $8.49. The crude oil Brent in global trade, down $8.64 at $90.75. And the wholesale price of gasoline, a penny, or rather 16¾ cents lower at $2.92½ for the day. Mike Zuzlow at GlobalCommResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hi, Mike. Thanks much. You and I are talking before 2 o'clock today, and the cattle on feed report would be due out. I'm wondering if you could put it into context, though we haven't seen the numbers, with maybe some things that have been happening this week, including the settlement of the strike at the JBS plant in Colorado and them going back to work. They had gone back to work already, but at least they have a settlement there. Can you tell me about those things in combination?
Yeah, I mean, as far as actual supply-demand fundamentals and daily kill, it really hasn't shifted too much. It does show that JBS probably did a good job of making up for the lost kill in other plants, Todd. I think we saw a kill of about preliminarily 512,000 on, I believe it was Thursday's kill. And so that's right in there with what the trade has been expecting, if you ask me. The cow and feed report, though, I think it takes on added importance in respect to the break, the hard break in the energy markets. The fear of the trade, I think, was increasing this week that the summer driving season, the summer grilling season after the CPI numbers came out really do show, I think, and the trade understands, I think, that this year's summer grilling season and the demand being surprisingly good like we saw last year is going to be a very big uphill battle with 100% ground beef prices dancing close to $7 a pound versus around 5.10, 5.15 2 years ago, whereas bone-in chops and boneless chicken breasts both at about the same price as 2 years ago, both of them in the $4 range. So when you add together the strength of the earlier week's move and the energies, the CPI data, the market probably started to wonder whether they should be this long in the cattle going into the on feed report, since the placements number being around 93% on average kept us on feed as of April 1 in the trade's mind close to 100% of last year. So those are two big pieces of the puzzle, I think, that's going to probably direct our trade as we get post cattle on feed report.
Well, if you take a look at some other things that happened through the week, there is a ceasefire with Iran at the moment and in Lebanon between the Lebanese and Israel. I'm wondering what impact you think that might have, and if there are other things you've been watching in Washington, D.C., or policy on the global stage.
Yeah, plenty on the latter. And just to kind of finish up and put a point and a dot on the cattle market heading into next week, if we have lower energy prices coming and the peak in the diesel and unleaded prices is here because of the ceasefire, and you don't get a bearish cattle on feed report, and the USMCA starts to get negotiated as of starting this weekend. Rumors out of Latin America, news sources out of Latin America that I've been watching are suggesting that the screwworm issue is going to be talked about. The USMEF has been talking about getting the border open back up, coming from the CEO being done with an interview in a Latin American periodical. I think that, quite frankly, kind of sunk the cattle market as we closed out Thursday's trade and kept us on very much on the defensive in feeders going into Friday's close and the cattle on feed report. So my point being, depending on what the cattle on feed report says, you've got a couple big reasons if the USMCA doesn't say anything or the negotiations don't say anything about opening the border. A couple good reasons for short covering. As to the other things, in a very brief amount of time, we just have to simply watch to see if last week's lows and the grains are going to be taken out next week. In other words, what we are going to put in this week is a base building week, in my opinion, and we should not be able to go back and take out last week's lows, because even if we've lost the energy bull, we've gotten the dollar bear back, we've gotten the gold bull back, and we've gotten a weather bull established in the wheat market. So I'd like to see this carry on through next week by the close.
We'll follow up with some of those things in a moment. USMCA, for those who've been listening, United States, Mexico, Canada Trade Agreement, replace the North American Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, and USMEF stands for United States Meat Export Federation. That's who the CEO was that you were talking about. Now, when you look into next week, it sounds like you have a much more positive view of this marketplace.
Well, I think it's one of those things where, for me, in the economic analysis, and the U of I people that are so much more brilliant than and do so much better work than I do, and the rest of the land grant universities, because I have to deal in the markets in the here and now too, it just really seems to me that we have a spillover effect, a domino effect in the energy side of the equation, Todd, that is just now starting to get appreciated in the energy intensive commodities. And if the energy prices are done going up, then the Fed should not need to raise interest rates, and that should beat the dollar back down and stimulate commodity investment again. That's the biggest train car that we lost with the engine this last couple weeks. So there's a couple things working in the background that I think really support the idea that this market does not need to go back and go to new lows, especially given if we have a hard freeze and hard red wheat belt country this weekend, because we've got low acres and then probably low yield. And if the peace has broken out in the Middle East, it opens up the idea that the US and China will probably meet and have their summit. And again, that should be supportive to the grain prices overall.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Just have a fantastic weekend and keep buckled up, Todd.
All right, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's at globalcomresearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Online on demand at willag.org. On this Friday, let's check in with Eric Snodgrass at Nutrien Ag Solutions in Dagable to see what the weather forecast is like for the growing regions across the planet. Eric, good to talk to you. This is the third week, so we finally get a chance to talk. It's been a while, and there's been quite a bit of severe weather around. Can you recap some of that for me first, please?
Oh, yeah. So here's the setup. We've had this massive intrusion of the Bermuda High into the southeast. So there is mega drought in the southeast, but it has focused all of the heaviest rains from Texas to the Great Lakes. And if you go look at the precipitation statistics, the Great Lakes are right now having their wettest spring on record. Meanwhile, in the southeast and in Kansas and then in Oklahoma and parts of Texas, then getting up into Nebraska, Colorado, they're also having a highly anomalous precipitation pattern, but they're dry. So in the middle is all this really, really wet weather, and a ton of it has been severe weather. We set a new state record in Illinois for hail size. We've just had a lot of severe weather, and we're in for more of it right now. And it's just got a lot of people worried, like, is this the way that this upcoming season is going to go? Or are we just in for repeated severe weather events, and what are they going to do to the growing season?
You've been traveling a lot through the winter months. You always do. Is there anything that people have been asking or that have been talking about that you have made note of?
Yeah, I'd like to say something that I hope I'm clear on. I understand that discourse on a radio show right now with the public is not how we can maybe get to the heart of some of the issues, Todd. But I've been asked, and I was just asked again yesterday at an event I was at, if the government's controlling all of this, if the government's sending all the severe weather and the nasty hailstorm and all. And I'm going to say just a couple things. One, that's given a lot of credit to our government, right?
Right.
Like, you know, we can't get certain things right, but boy, we can control the weather. But that's beside the point. The reality is we can't. And you have no idea how bad I wish we could control the weather. You know, we tried this during the Vietnam War. It was one of the largest government attempted manipulations of weather in history. And it was called Operation Popeye, 1968 to 1972. Instead of trying to shut down that northern border in Vietnam, so the Viet Cong could not continue to go back and forth between there and communist China, we wanted to stop dropping napalm and instead wanted to flood out the Viet Cong supply trail. So in 1968 to 1972, let's see here, 50,000 different attempts at manipulating the weather through cloud seeding were undertaken, and they were found to have no effect. In fact, 4 out of the 5 years, it was drier than average rather than wetter. So what I'm telling you, I'm just bringing this up to make one thing very clear. To someone who studies this, right, who studies how this all works, if you'd like to manipulate weather, you have to do it on the size scale and order of magnitude of producing enough energy that you're going to be the equivalent of the sun. That's what's only driving all of this. Okay, so all that set aside, what made all the severe weather up north? Well, we've had wide open access to heat. We've had open access to unstable air. And it's been focused because the Bermuda High has been so dominant. He said, well, why is it dominant? Well, we've had an El Nino building, which means all the effort has been going into the Pacific, allowing the Bermuda High to expand into the southeast. So, I mean, we can point to scientifically reasonable reasons, you know, that make sense on what's going on. And it's just not done, Todd. I mean, but there's a nasty, nasty line of storms that's going to come toward us late tonight into early, early tomorrow morning. It's big area of enhanced risk that's to our west over the Mississippi River, and it's coming again. So there's more in store. But I just want to be very transparent and clear that I promise you our government is not manipulating this. And we'll leave it at that.
Okay. That severe weather that you mentioned,
yeah.
Who needs to be concerned and where?
All of us, everybody that's listening to you right now, unless they're picking this up on the internet and they're somewhere outside of the country, but this is going to stretch from Wisconsin all the way down to Oklahoma, and it's going to move from the west to the east. I think it'll be coming over the river late this afternoon up by the Quad Cities, Dubuque, that area, and then down by St. Louis. I'm expecting it to be after 6 or 7 o'clock tonight. And then it's going to press east toward us, bringing in some very heavy rain. And then behind it, Todd, some really, really cold weather. I mean, if you've not looked at the temperatures on Sunday, we're getting pretty chilly again, and there's even frost risk in the mix for us going forward.
Well, tell me more about that.
Yeah, this is what's troubling. We've had so much warm weather as of late, but with this next big push, we're going to drop some really cold air that's going to come out of Canada and come through the area, taking us again down to a frost. I don't know if it's going to be as far south, maybe like down where Matt Bennett farms down in southern Illinois. He may get by without a frost event. But I think central to northern Illinois, we are going to see some cooler conditions down there in the low to mid 30s. And to be honest, early May even looks a little cool for us as well. Normally, if we're trying to get a crop established, we want it to just crank on heat early. Well, all of our heat was really early this year, and now we're getting a little bit more of a kind of a flux in the temperatures. Oh, by the way, Todd, just something popped in my head. Earlier this week, I also got another question about how windy the spring has been.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as windy as last spring. That was the all-time record setter for Illinois going back almost 50 years. But this is the top 10 windiest March into early April that we've had. So I looked back at the statistics, and man, has it been windy these last few springs.
Wow. You mentioned May. Do you have a forecast for that month?
I do. With some of the cooler weather coming in May, we are actually expecting in early May to have some more wide open windows to get the crop put in. So if we can get by without having too much cool weather that it stops us, it should be a nice open time period to get a crop established. It is not going to last long. There's a lot of indications as this El Nino continues to rage and develop that we're going to go back over stormier and wetter, but there are windows opening up in the forecast, even one right away after this front comes through tomorrow or tonight into tomorrow. So I'm starting to see that. I'm also seeing rain coming back into the plains and into the southeast as well, which has been so very dry.
I know May's far enough out that that's difficult. Anything for summer?
Well, I mean, I have 10 different models predicting El Nino, and 8 of them are predicting a very strong El Nino. Some of them are predicting the strongest El Nino on record. So we're all trying to balance what that's going to look like. And I'll tell you this, if I'm growing corn in Illinois, I'm going with what the government just put out yesterday. They have us as a cool summer. Not hot, not 2009 cool or 2014 cool, but a cooler summer, not hot, and decent rain. The European model is a bit warmer and a bit stormier. And the newest model run by what's called the National Multimodel Ensemble has actually got us pinned down for drier. So Todd, if you're unaware of what I just said, our models right now are predicting everything is a possibility for summer. Did you get that? they're all over the place. Nothing is clear. But I would just tell you some years. So here they are. Think about 2015, 1997, 1991, 1982, and 1972, if anybody was farming back then that's listening to us. Those are also years that built in big El Nino events like the one that we're about to see, and they could be decent analogs. And for the most part, those years were not disastrous years for yields across much of the Midwest.
Hey, you know, by the way, those who think that the government is controlling the weather just didn't hear anything you said, except you're going with what the government said for the summer.
I know, Todd. And I know I may have a little sarcasm in my voice and a little bit of just, but I guess the reason why when I get asked those questions about this, it's something that I've studied and tried to figure out. And by the way, you have no idea how bad I wish we could control the weather. Do you understand? Like there would be end of drought. It would be incredible if we could control it. But unfortunately, it's too many orders of magnitude, too large of a system for us to have an effect on it to control individual weather systems day to day. And so I just say all that because a lot of folks have been worried about it. Maybe they've gone down a rabbit hole on social media and it's been feeding them that stuff. But the reality is we can't. And I just wanted to bring that up today.
We'll check with you about the randomness of weather again
yes.
next week. Thank you much. I appreciate it.
You bet, Todd. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's Eric Snodgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions, and Agrible joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like to listen to us at willag.org, willag.org. Now, if you can stay with us for the whole of the hour, you'll hear all of our Commodity Week program that's coming up next. If not, you can hear it online right now. We're at, of course, willag.org, or you can search out Commodity Week, for that matter, the Closing Market Report by name, and listen to them on demand on your favorite podcast applications, too, places like Apple and YouTube video, as well as Spotify and so many more, including the NPR One app.